Drink from the river that flows through the middle of the ville, if you want to get a bloody flux.
So we'll buy water off you as well.
No, traitor. While you're here, the water comes free. Man should be ready to step aside a little for a friend.
Thanks. Well, time to move back. We thank you for the meal. Not like nothing I ever seen before. We'll start doing the trading in the morning.
Good to have your company. I've heard a lot about the trader.
You want anything or you got a problem, you come to me. Everyone knows where to find me.
Finally, Sharona got to her feet, smiling at the three men.
Well, it's been an evening of greater pleasure than I had thought. And all sorts of interesting things came up in conversation.
Sharona looked directly at Ryan as she spoke. As they walked out of the dining room, the trader turned to Ryan and grinned broadly.
Ryan, my friend, that lady can be banged.
The two war wags always needed some kind of attention. Since they were closing in on 100 years old, it wasn't that surprising that they were constantly malfunctioning. The bearing would go in an axle, or the gears would begin to disintegrate. Whenever the trader ordered a stop in a ville that had some sort of workshops, the engineers would pester him for requisitions for parts and labor. Dexter wanted time on a big steam-powered lathe to repair the main doors to Warwag 2. Warwag 1 had been having difficulties with its radio, so Cone wandered around Taos until he found a store offering all manner of comm parts. As war captain, Ryan never had too much to do when they were located in a ville, even one that was as potentially hostile as Taos. Once a rotation of guards had been established, the shifts ran themselves like clockwork. All members of the crews took their parts, 2 hours on and then 10 hours off. That was the way that the trader ordered it. Ryan decided that he might as well explore the ville. The sky was overcast, with the sun veiled behind endless banks of dark clouds. There were no shadows, just a gloom that settled over the adobe buildings of the ville. On an impulse, Ryan wandered into the ruins of the old church. The splintered remnants of what had once been rows of wooden pews were scattered about. All the windows were shattered, and where the altar had once stood was the bent shell of an old television set. The roof had been partly destroyed by fire, and the charred beams sank into the clay walls. Someone had scrawled something on the one wall, using a burned length of wood, but it was completely illegible. Ryan walked to the far end, picking his way carefully among the rubbish. As he kicked the length of a smashed bench to one side, his eye was caught by something that had been hidden beneath it, a glint of vivid green. Ryan stooped and picked it up. The light was poor in the ruined building, and he had to hold the object up to make out what it was. It was a severed finger. Desiccated and mummified in the heat, it felt dry and leathery to the touch. The green was a small ring of molded turquoise chips, held in a crude silver setting. From the size of the finger, it had belonged to a woman, almost certainly one of the original dwellers in the old pueblo. With an expression of disgust, Ryan dropped the finger back among the rubbish. But first he slipped the ring off and put it in his pocket. The original owner wasn't likely to ever ask for it back, and he could easily trade it with one of the crew of Warwag 1. As he moved toward the rectangle of brighter light in the doorway, Ryan spotted two of the Baron's Sekhmen waiting outside the devastated church. Each man had a hand casually resting on the butt of his blaster.
Spying around, Outlander?
Go fuck a dead pig.
Oh, that's real friendly. That's the way the traitors' ass-lickers talk.
Better than being ass-licker to the Baron is some border pest hole.
The two men had badges, plas-covered, pinned to the lapels of their shirts. The one on the right, who toted a Charter Explorer 3, chamber to take a 357 round, was called Long Dog Hodgson. His colleague, Remy Stedman, had a Renato Gamba Trident Fast Action 38. Both blasters looked to be in good, clean working order. Ryan kept his right hand well clear of his own Smith & Wesson. If these two Sekhmen were simply trying to talk tough, then he wouldn't need the blaster. But if it went that one short step further, then any sudden movement could prove terminal. Across the far side of the main square, Ryan thought he caught a glimpse of the distinctive figure of Ferryman behind a half-shuttered window. But the person moved back, and he couldn't be certain.
Think we should take this fat lip in for a couple hours interrogation? Might teach him some manners.
Best kind of teaching's spread over the table with his cheeks greased. That'll learn him good.
Rape was a common everyday occurrence for anyone who was unfortunate enough to fall afoul of Sekhmen. It didn't much matter either way if you were male or female.
Hand over the blaster, Outlander. And come talk to us about looting one of Baron Carson's buildings.
And a fucking church, too!
No.
No? Did I hear that boy right, Long Dog? Did he say what I think he said?
Yeah, Remy, I believe he did. Turning down a harmless bit of interrogation with us. That's not the right kind of attitude.
Calls for a spanking, I think.
Easy or hard, Outlander?
The answer's still the same.
Ryan's original anger had cooled as he successfully fought for self-control over himself. The traitor often said that a man who stayed calm was a man who stayed alive.
All right, talk's over. You want it hard? Well, blast blindness, you fucking get it!
The two Sekhmen both went for their blasters together. Ryan didn't hesitate. All his reflexes had been straining for this moment, his fighting experience telling him it was inevitable. He didn't try to draw, knowing that he was framed in the doorway as a perfect target. Movement came a hot first. He dove to his left, back into the church, breaking his fall with his arm and feeling a sudden shock of pain as his elbow hit one of the jagged chunks of torn wood that littered the floor of the church. His right hand was already beginning to draw the long revolver from its holster while he was still in midair. Ryan rolled over into a crouch, steadying his right wrist with his left hand.
Hey, some sort of trouble? In here, traitor! I know that. Come on out.
Rubbing his bruised elbow, Ryan emerged cautiously into the dismal morning. Long Dog Hodgson and Remy Steadman were standing sheepishly on either side of the doorway. Each still held his handgun, but the barrels were pointing down. The traitor was behind them, cradling his beloved Armalite. Half a dozen members of the crews were with him, including Ray, a walking stick in his left hand, one of his 32s in his right. Ben was casually holding his Uzi, grinning at Ryan.
Trouble, Ryan? These guys wanted to start playing double rough.
He was looting a church! Ferryman told us special to watch for thieving bastards from the War Wags crew. Warned us!
Well, he ain't looting now. And you'd best put that toy cannon back in your pocket before someone gets hurt.
Good advice.
Ferryman had appeared silently from nowhere. Ryan noticed that he was wearing a different patch over the blinded eye. It was soft maroon leather with some silver embroidery, an ornate letter F. The affectation diminished the man in Ryan's view.
What you said they...
Steadman quieted as the sec boss lifted a hand.
What we have here, traitor, is simply a failure of communication. Hodgson, you and Steadman come see me in half hour. I'll make it plain.
They holstered their blasters and shuffled off toward one of the main adobe buildings on the far side of the wooden bridge.
Thanks.
My boys get a little eager. Maybe be better if you tell all your boys to keep close to the wags. Avoids misunderstandings, if you take my meaning.
Sure.
Much obliged.
With a narrow smile, the sec boss turned on his heel and followed his two men across the fast-flowing river. The trader turned to Ryan, who slowly holstered his weapon.
I look for more care from you, Ryan.
I told them that...
Talk comes cheap. Action costs. Be more careful while we're here.
Yeah.
3 days drifted by. On the second day, there was the threat of a chem storm, with towering thundertops clustered around the white-tipped peaks of the Sangre de Cristos. Lightning ripped into the forests that smothered the lower slopes, starting a couple of small fires. But the torrential rainfall that followed quickly extinguished the orange flames. Now, on the third day, Ryan stood next to Ferryman, near the fortified outer wall of the ville.
Could have been worse.
You get some big winds down here?
Sure.
Acid rain?
No, that's farther south near the sea, and down the acid lakes to the east around New Orleans. But we get the hurricanes.
Strip paint?
You bet. Most animals out wild know when the wind's on the way and get into the canyons. Man gets caught out in it, and you don't recognize him. Clothes go, skin, eyes, lips, hair, most of the hair. Cock and balls, too.
Gotcha. More than I ever wanted to know about it.
Well, sounds like one of our wreck boys coming in off patrol in one fucking son of a hurry.
Ryan recognized the noise as being an old two-wheeler wag. It was surprising how many of the ancient Harleys still survived around Deathlands. The main set gate was thrown open, and a dusty motorbike came into Taos, skidding sideways in a shower of water.